This morning on WSEA, Dr. Wells' exotic fish are fish out of water at his lab. And later, a discovery bursts forth from Captain Fallon's expedition to the Galapagos. I'm your host, Joe Novak, and this is Breaking News on WSEA. Brought to you by the New England Aquarium. Find out more at the break. The cod and the clownfish. Good morning, I'm Joe Novak of WSEA. We begin today's broadcast from the Seven Seas Research Center. The range of species at Seven Seas grows ever larger. Last night, a generous donor gifted two exotic fish to the aquarium. I'm behind the scenes with their head researcher, Dr. Arthur Wells, to give our listeners an exclusive first look. Dr. Wells, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
So, Dr. Wells, where are you keeping these mysterious new fish?
Well, once we're sure they're healthy and can live with the other fish, we'll be moving them to exhibits in our aquarium for everyone to see. But for now, we're keeping a close eye on them in our lab.
Wow, I've never seen so many fish in one room.
You came at the perfect time. I changed their water this morning, so their tanks are already out on the table. So, over here on the left, we have a clownfish, a kind of tropical fish. This one is from the Red Sea, but they live in tropical waters all over the world.
Too cold up here, though?
Too cold up here for them, yes.
Something tells me I was a clownfish in a past life.
And on the right, we have an Arctic cod caught all the way up in northern Canada, though they can come from even farther north, too.
Ah, so that one can handle the weather up here.
If anything, she may find it too warm.
It looks like she might, Dr. Wells. You're certainly more of an expert than I am, but those fish don't look happy.
Ever since I changed their water, they've just been getting sicker and sicker.
Oh no! Do you know what's causing it?
Not yet, at least not for sure, but I do have a hypothesis.
Let's hear it, Dr. Wells.
Do you see how the clownfish is all bloated while the cod is all dried out?
I do, though I don't understand how that could happen. How is the cod dried out when it's swimming in water?
That's part of my hypothesis, Joe. I don't think the water has anything to do with it. I think that these fish aren't being fed properly. Perhaps the clownfish is being fed too much, while the cod is being fed too little.
That makes perfect sense to me. Mystery solved!
Not yet. Before we say this hypothesis is true, we have to test it to make sure.
So, how will you test it?
Well, what do you do when you're hungry?
I eat, of course.
The same applies to fish.
What are you getting out of that cabinet, Dr. Wells?
Fish food. If the cod eats this fish food, we'll know the cod is hungry. It's not eating the fish food.
Guess it's not hungry.
Is the clownfish...
Aw, he's trying to get the fish food. Sorry, little guy, you can't swim through that glass. Wells, hand me the shaker. There you go, little buddy. Aw, he's so cute.
So, I suppose we can consider that hypothesis disproved.
Yeah, hypothesis disproved, right. Where are you from again, little critter?
The clownfish? He's from the Red Sea.
Yes. Where is that? Why am I not surprised you have a pull-down map in your lab?
It's convenient. So, the Red Sea is right in between Northwest Africa and Saudi Arabia, very close to the equator.
And the Arctic cod was from the Arctic?
Well, northern Canada.
I would much rather swim in the Red Sea than northern Canada. Brr.
You really are a clownfish at heart, Joe. Wait, I know what's making the fish sick.
Oh?
The temperature, Joe, the temperature. They've been sitting out on the lab table for too long.
Oh no! Poor little guy must be freezing.
And yet, it's much too warm for the cod. Help me pick up this tank and move it to the refrigerated section. Just a couple more feet. There we go. And now the clownfish to that heating lamp over there.
Phew! Nice work.
Couldn't have done it without you, Joe. I call that a job well done.
But we can't call it yet, Dr. Wells.
Why is that?
You said it yourself. Before we say this hypothesis is true, we have to test to make sure.
Yes, of course. How silly of me. You stay here and watch the clownfish, and I'll keep an eye on the cod.
Works for me. Hey, Dr. Wells?
Yeah, Joe?
He still looks sick.
The cod still looks sick, too.
So, hypothesis disproved?
Hypothesis disproved. And I'm fresh out of ideas. This isn't good, Joe. We can't let them stay sick forever. What'll my team think? And there are gifts, too. Oh, I'm a terrible fish dad.
Breathe, Dr. Wells, breathe. Let's stop and take stock of what we've done so far.
Okay.
You've been feeding them correctly.
Yes.
You've been keeping them at the right temperature.
Of course.
Have you... Maybe their tanks are dirty?
It can't be that. I changed their water just this morning. Wait, I changed their water this morning.
But Dr. Wells, aren't you supposed to? And he's gone.
Of course, that's what I got wrong. When I changed the water in their tanks, I replaced it with water from the beach nearby.
I don't see what the problem is, Dr. Wells. Water is water, isn't it?
No water is just water, especially not ocean water. You enjoy the beach, right, Joe?
Yes, of course. I'm
a clownfish at heart, yes. Have you ever gotten seawater in your mouth while swimming?
So many times.
And how did it taste?
It was super salty. Oh!
Exactly. Ocean water isn't just water. It's also full of salt. The fish are getting sick because they're being kept in the wrong salinity.
Salinity?
The amount of salt in the water. Water from different oceans has different amounts of salt dissolved in it. We were onto something with the temperature. The location was part of the problem. The Red Sea has one of the highest salinities in the world, and the Arctic has one of the lowest.
So the clownfish is used to high salinity, and the cod is used to low salinity.
Precisely. In fact, the water in these fish's bodies has the same salinity as the water they're meant to live in. By putting the cod in water too saline for it, water rushes out of the cod's body to balance it all out. That's how the cod looks dried out, even though it's swimming in water. It was the water after all.
Fascinating.
And, of course, by putting the clownfish in water not saline enough, water rushes in, making it all bloated.
But how can we change the salinity of the water? We've only got one ocean over here.
Well, salinity is all about how much water there is versus how much salt there is. Somewhere in here I should have... Aha! Salt. If we add some salt to the clownfish's tank and... Joe, can you pass me that jug of water?
Got it.
We pour a bit of plain water in the cod's tank. It should change the salinity of each tank.
They're looking healthier already.
Of course, I'll have to do more research into exactly what salinity they're used to, but this is certainly a start.
I assume this means you'll be back at your books?
You know me too well, Joe.
Well, don't let me keep you from your research, Dr. Wells. Thanks for coming on the air today.
And thank you for all your assistance.
Always happy to help. Well, folks, we've solved the mystery. The cod and clownfish got sick because they were kept in the wrong salinity. Their bodies are used to the saltiness of their home seas. Our Atlantic water just wasn't right for them to live in. Now that Dr. Wells has changed the salinity in their tanks, these fish can live happy and healthy at the Seven Seas Research Center. Always glad to see a happy ending. I'm Joe Novak of WSEA, and we'll be back after this break. This episode of Breaking News on WSEA is sponsored by the New England Aquarium. The New England Aquarium is among the best public education resources in the greater Boston area. Through their exhibits, you can get a real-world look at thousands of marine animals from all regions of the world. But they don't just set up some tanks and call it a day. No, they're also leaders in ocean conservation. From saving endangered sea turtles, to researching whales, to making fishing more sustainable, it seems there isn't a cup of water in the ocean they haven't made a difference towards. And they've been doing it all for over 50 years. That's why we're proud that the New England Aquarium is supporting our show, and why we're flattered that they're proud to support us. To help them with their conservation efforts, go to neaq.org/support to donate or volunteer. Thank you again to the New England Aquarium for sponsoring this episode. Now, back to the show. Strange heat signals. Welcome back. I'm Joe Novak of WSEA. We return with breaking news. There's been a surprising development in the Seven Seas Research Center's work in the Galapagos. Captain Flick Fallon, their lead submarine pilot, has just sent back temperature readings from their research submarine, the Loggerhead. And, dear listeners, the data will shock you. I'm here with their head researcher, Dr. Arthur Wells, to find out more. Dr. Wells, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
So, Dr. Wells, just what exactly was in those readings?
Well, Joe, let me pull up the data and I'll show you. Most of the data was exactly as we expected. Most of the water was just above freezing temperature.
Freezing cold water? Even out of the Galapagos? Brr!
Not at the surface, obviously. They've been sailing close to the ocean floor. Maybe a little too close.
Oh. So then, what's the big deal?
The big deal is just over here.
Whoa! That's a huge spike!
From 30 to 750 degrees Fahrenheit, to be precise.
Are you sure Captain Fallon is safe sailing the Loggerhead through temperatures like that?
The Loggerhead was built to withstand intense heat and pressure. As long as Fallon stays careful and makes good choices, they're perfectly safe. So they're definitely in immediate danger, and I need to call them right now.
Art, my man. Good to hear from you. How's everything going over there?
Fallon, please tell me you're sailing away from the giant temperature spike.
I'm sailing directly towards the giant temperature spike as we speak.
Fallon.
Don't worry your bald little head, Art. I know the Loggerhead can take it. In no way am I passing up on a discovery like this one.
Captain Fallon, what do you think you'll find out there?
Don't encourage them.
Joe, how nice to hear your voice. My data must have made quite a splash, huh?
It certainly has. I'm reporting on it right now.
Well, hello, Joe's listeners. To answer your question, I honestly don't know what I'll find out there. It could be anything. It could even be nothing. But never fear. That's more directed at you, Art. The Loggerhead will keep me safe. Joe, Art, I'll call you two back with updates on anything I find. Goodbye, everyone.
Flick. It's probably just an error, right? They said it could even be nothing, so it could be nothing. Just a mistake in the data.
Do you think that's likely, Dr. Wells?
Of course I do. I mean, what could cause a temperature change like that? If anything, equipment malfunction is the most likely cause. Well, I mean, a single blip of 750 degrees in a literal sea of freezing point water, it must be a glitch. I bet Fallon's gonna get to that spot and find nothing.
Incoming call from Flick Fallon.
Folks, you're not gonna believe this. You're gonna want to be seated.
Oh, no.
Give us a scoop, Captain Fallon. What's happening?
It's like a giant smokestack.
A smokestack? Underwater?
Well, I don't know how else to describe it to you, Joe. It looks like a giant plume of black smoke pouring up from the ocean floor. And the Loggerhead's heat sensors are going off the charts, too.
That's fascinating.
Well, Fallon, now that you know that the smokestack is causing the temperature spike, you can turn around and head to safety.
Or I could get closer and find out more.
Flick.
They do have a point, Dr. Wells.
I don't want you to get hurt in the process. Have you ever heard the phrase, curiosity killed the cat?
Yes, and satisfaction brought it back. I'll call you back in a bit with what I find.
You said the spot was 750 degrees, right, Dr. Wells?
750 degrees, yes.
Heh, that's too hot even for me. And I like a nice warm bath.
I can't imagine any life would like water that hot, Joe. It's four times hotter than the boiling point of water. The only thing keeping it all from turning to steam is the intense water pressure that deep in the sea.
So, between the heat and the pressure...
Nothing could survive there, yes, which is why I'm worried about Fallon.
Incoming call from...
Flick, what's going on?
Progress update? There's crabs.
What?
You heard me. There's crabs.
Fallon, it's 750 degrees with enough pressure to keep it that way. What do you mean there's crabs?
I mean, there's crabs. Clams, too. And these big, weird tube-shaped things. They kind of look like worms. Whatever they are, they look alive. Art, are you there?
Oh, chin up, Dr. Wells. Captain Fallon can handle their own.
I know, I just...
You just what?
I just worry about them. They keep saying they can handle anything, and there's a part of me that's worried that's not true. And at this point, it's the only thing I hope I'm proven wrong about.
I suppose that's fair. It's always scary to watch someone you know make decisions you wouldn't make yourself.
Especially when I can't be there with them if something does go wrong. They're all the way down there, and I'm stuck up here in the lab behind a speaker.
Not unless you learn how to drive a submarine. Heh. Or walk across the ocean floor.
The ocean floor. The ocean floor! Data, I need my data. Joe, in that stack of textbooks next to you, can you get me the one called Plate Tectonics?
Can do. Eep! Sorry!
Never mind the mess, Joe. I can clean it up later. Hand me that book, please. Thank you.
Forgive me for my confusion, Dr. Wells, but I don't see what dinnerware has to do with Captain Fallon's discovery.
Tectonic plates aren't like dinner plates, Joe. They're huge chunks of the Earth's crust. When two of these chunks move away from each other, magma, molten rock, comes out of the space between them.
Oh, like when you pull apart a grilled cheese sandwich and the cheese stretches across the middle.
A little, yes. When that split between plates happens under the sea, we call that a mid-ocean ridge. Look here at this map of mid-ocean ridges. There's one right through the Galapagos, and its coordinates match perfectly with the location of the temperature spike.
So that's why the water got so hot there. The magma from the mid-ocean ridge was heating it up.
Precisely. Now, hot water is different from cold water in two ways.
One, it's hotter.
Three ways. The first is that it's hotter. The second is it's better at dissolving things, such as minerals. And the third is that when you put hot and cold water in the same place, the hot water rises while the cold water sinks.
Wait, that explains the smokestack.
Not a smokestack, Joe, but clouds of minerals. The hot water dissolves minerals from the Earth's crust, then rises out of the ridge. If I remember correctly, there should be a name for this. Aha, here it is. A hydrothermal vent.
Look at that picture, Dr. Wells. Those are the same worm-like creatures that Captain Fallon was talking about.
Tube worms, Joe. Tube worms and deep sea crabs. They live off the bacteria that feeds on those minerals. That's how they live in such unlivable conditions.
Well, in that case, you better tell Captain Fallon that you found their big new discovery in a random old textbook on your desk.
Oh, they're gonna hate that.
In that case, how about I sign off first so you two can have some privacy?
For the sake of your show staying on air, I think that's a fine idea. Don't let me keep you waiting.
Well, it seems like things are back on track at the Seven Seas Research Center. The mysterious temperature spike turned out to be an entire new ecosystem. Crabs and tube worms living in boiling hot temperatures, all fueled by magma just below the ocean floor. It's always amazing to see what lies beneath the waves. This is Joe Novak of WSEA, signing off. This episode of Breaking News on WSEA was written, directed, and edited by Anya Miller. It starred Anya Miller as Joe Novak, Jack Miller as Dr. Arthur Wells, Weston Clover as Captain Flick Fallon, and Katie Hamill as the incoming call voice. A full work cited for each story is available in the show notes. If you liked this episode, please rate and review our show. It lets us know what we're doing right and what we can improve in the future. If you want to hear more, please subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to us. This will make new episodes download to your device automatically. And of course, please follow our Twitter at WSEAPod for announcements and updates. A special thanks to the New England Aquarium for their generous support. Donate or volunteer today at neaq.org/support. And lastly, thank you for listening. Next week on WSEA, Dr. Wells tries to take care of an octopus, but he can't seem to keep his eyes on it. And later, a rival news station reports on the Seven Seas Research Center and blows every story out of proportion. How will Joe debunk the rumors? And just where did that octopus go? Find out next week on Breaking News on WSEA.